Welcome to Tomra Talk Circular, where we explore how businesses, municipalities, and governments are collaborating towards a circular economy. I'm Mitu Moran. To kick off this new season, we wanted to change perspectives a bit. What is the up-and-coming generation thinking in terms of climate change? After all, it's them and the generations after them that will be most impacted by decisions we've made in the past and those we continue to make today. So in this special episode, we are going to ask just that question. In fact, in this episode, we are going to ask a father and son to have a chat about all of this. Joining today is Roque Lehmann, 19 years old, who just started his studies at the Technical University of Munich in Germany. On the virtual couch with him is his father, Volker Lehmann, we won't mention his age, Executive Vice President and Head of Tomra Recycling. This should be an interesting conversation, and I'm most certainly looking forward to it. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Welcome.
Hello.
So, Roque, let's start with you. Do you ever think about climate change?
Yes, I think everyone does from time to time because it's always in the media, climate activists and so on. But I think the awareness of how bad the situation is just not there because as I did my research for this podcast, I saw how many irreversible changes there are just if it gets warmer just by a tiny bit. So there are tipping points, as they are called. And this whole system is a self-reinforcing circle. So there is a domino effect. And I fear that it is not stoppable anymore. So if you think about it, every day it gets warmer and warmer. And we're not doing enough, in my opinion, at least what I know. And there was the Paris Agreement, which was very good, and I think it is a good idea behind it to limit us to 1.5 or at least 2 degrees Celsius. But as far as it stands now, we will stop with the current regulations at about 2.7 degrees, and that's very grim. There will be food shortages, extinction of species, and so on. To be honest, I'm terrified because as the World Health Organization stated, by 2100, 50 to 75% of world population will face life-threatening climate conditions from time to time. And if you think about it, that's just absurd that there are so many people that are affected by it. And your generation, the older generation, so to say, will not face these problems. But my generation, especially my children, so the next generation, they will face all these problems, all these life-threatening problems. And to think about it in that way is just right frightening, I think. And so what I'm asking myself is it even possible to avert this at all? Or can we just flatten the curve and reduce the effects that it will have? And how bad will it be? So I just hope that there are more severe actions from now on because it is my life and the life of my children that will be affected and not yours.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and maybe you've already answered the question. Who do you think is responsible for this state of affairs?
So I think I was pretty clear in my last sentence that I think that the generations before mine are responsible, but I have to also say that my generation is also not perfect because I think we are all part of it. My generation is not as old. We are just growing up. I mean, I'm 19. I don't think about climate change when I'm 5 or 10 or so, but
you shouldn't.
Yeah. We're just starting to get old and to get to an age where we could think about these problems. And we do, in fact, in some way, Fridays for Future or so, but to be honest, I think it's not enough. And it's just, I think there is not much awareness in my generation how bad the situation is and what consequence we will face.
Volker, you've been quite quiet in this whole conversation. I'm not used to that. Anything you'd like to respond with to your son?
No, you know, I'm not quiet. You know, I'm just listening to what Roque has to say. I'm thinking about it, and I think it is quite clear. I mean, he tries to be polite, but it is quite clear that it's our generation that has to take the responsibility for it. But even us reflecting on it, you know, we shouldn't be blamed too much on this. If you look a little bit back into history, and especially here in Europe after the World War II, I mean, we were really in a devastating state here. And then we all tried to work our way up. And the only thing that was important was to become more wealthy. And we have all been educated like that. Basically, you know, becoming more wealthy, have a better life. And all we have been doing is then doing everything that was necessary to become more successful. And we have overlooked that this comes at a price. We have been exploiting our, you know, Mother Earth much more than it has been sustainable. But at that time, it was not clear to us. Think about it. We came out of catastrophe, the World War, and we were trying to make a life. And then capitalism really became so successful. And it became a thing in itself, more, you know. The motto of our lifetime, of our generation, is, you know, has always been higher, faster, wider. That's how we have been educated. But it's time to rethink. And we shouldn't do the same mistake with our kids. Therefore, these conversations we have now also between Rocco and myself are important, because I should not do the same mistake. I should not educate him in the same way, telling him the only thing that counts is that you make more money, that it's, you know, higher, wider, faster. But it's still important to you know, make a life for yourself, to become successful. I think this is very important. But we need to take more factors into account. And we have to think about sustainable ways of doing business in the future. And that is something we just have to reflect about. And too many are not doing it in a proper way. So I'm happy that the young generation is starting to challenge us. You know, even though I'm not agreeing to everything that, you know, this Fridays for Future generation, for example, does, and I don't have to agree to everything what they do. I think it's important that they do something. Yeah, so that is important.
And if I might add, you mentioned we have to start doing business in a sustainable way. I think we also have to start living in a sustainable way, and that impacts all of us on an individual basis. So, as you said, you didn't really think about this when you were 5 years old, and you definitely shouldn't have been. But do you think about this now? Is it something that you and your peers talk about?
In fact, yes. I, by myself, I'm living in an own apartment now and so on, that I can look up what I want to buy. I can look what I want to recycle and so on. And that's what I try to do. So I try to reduce my meat consumption, for example. That's one thing. I try to recycle buy recyclable packaging and so on. I reduced my heating. That's what many people did, I think, this winter. But these are all things. I don't have a car or so. I use the bus or a train and so on. That's what I do personally. And I think the awareness in my generation is not high enough for the climate change itself. But I think the innovations and so on, so breakthroughs in technology like fusion reactors or so, that's of great interest to me and all my friends. We talk about these innovations because we are interested in the science behind it, and that's a first step, I would say. And if we could combine it with a more awareness of how grim the situation is, I think that could be a great chance.
I agree. And one thing that I don't know how you aren't, and I'm very happy to hear some of these measures that you're taking, and I'm hoping some of your peers are taking the same. One thing that I do notice with your generation is, and something Volker has also addressed, is this bigger, better, faster, more. This level of consumerism that our generation has had. And I see going forward in your generation, it's the same and potentially increasing. Volker, you've just heard Rocco. You've heard his fears and his concerns. And you've shared some of your thoughts. What can you say, if anything, to calm his concerns? Are we moving fast enough to actually turn the tide?
Me too. That's a very good question, and I wish I could. To be honest, I'm not super optimistic on this one. Even though I think, you know me, Mito, I'm a very optimistic person, and I think it's the only lifestyle that makes sense for human beings. I mean, I think you should be optimistic by nature. And on this one, it is very difficult. You know, we shouldn't also do capitalism bashing or something like that. It has done a lot good to the planet as well, because the average income has increased significantly. You know, millions and millions of people were brought out of poverty. So there are also different ways to look at it. The way of living has done also a lot of good to this planet, to the people living on the planet. No question about it. But just, you know, there are a few areas where we definitely need a fast change. And that is, of course, the use of fossil fuels. We cannot continue to use fossil fuels for, you know, producing energy and stuff like that. That is one of the most important areas. On the other hand, energy is the drive of our economy, and Germany is the fourth biggest economy in the world. We need energy for our way of living. And it would be naive to think that we just stop to consume all this stuff. What would happen to us? I mean, you would see a revolution. I mean, that is also not the solution. So we need to find ways. That's why I said we need to find a way to do sustainable business, more sustainable living. And the solutions are actually quite obvious. We need renewable energy sources. We need to get out of fossil fuels. The problem is, if we do it here in Germany or in Europe, it doesn't help as long as others increase to burn coal or. So it is a very complex question. And, you know, the other countries who are just now starting to increase their way of living, they, of course, challenge us and say, oh, you want us now to not use fossil fuels for our energy consumption so that we can start growing our own economy. You want us to not do it, but you have just lived like if there was no tomorrow. So these are very complex questions. And it also has to do with change management. People need to change the way they are thinking. And this, we all know, is difficult, takes time. Just look at the last COP27, climate conference. Not very, very promising what happened there. Very, very small progress. So is there reason to be very optimistic? I'm not so sure. But still, it doesn't help. You know, we all need to do what we can in order to progress. But I wish I could tell Rocket, don't worry, everything will be good. You know, our smart governments will fix all this and everything will be fine. It will be a tough way to get there. What makes me optimistic are two things. The businesses in this world have started to understand it. Every, you know, responsible business in this world is now working on a sustainability agenda. And seriously working on a sustainability agenda. Not like 20 years ago when they also had sustainability agenda, which was just blank paper or just words on paper.
Why do you think that's changed, Volker?
Why has this changed? That is actually a good question, because I think finally we see the consequences. That's maybe also a question to Rocket. We have this young generation that is challenging us. We see that there are, you know, more and more extreme weather phenomena in this world. I think we cannot just close our eyes anymore. It's everywhere. I mean, human beings are very good at that, closing their eyes and hoping nothing will happen. I think that doesn't work anymore. Rocka, I don't know how you see this, but it has become so obvious now. And 10 years ago, there were even many scientists who said there is no climate crisis. And I think those voices are, you know, getting fewer and fewer and fewer. Nobody seriously today can deny that there's climate.
And I think that's why the businesses have to do these agendas, because they can't do it in any other way, because they would just get canceled, as we say in our generation. They would receive such a shitstorm. They would receive so many messages or so, because the awareness has risen and it's everywhere. It's as you said, it's clear there is a climate change. I think we can all agree on that. And that's why they have to, because now everyone, in quotes, knows.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating, subscribe, and turn on notifications.
There's one thing. You said the nations are starting to reduce. As I did my research, I found numbers and statistics that China is still increasing their output.
Of course they are, because they are growing. You know, China is a growing economy, and they had historic growth rates of, you know, around average 8% per year. That has slowed down, but it's still, you know, a growing economy. And they bring more and more of the people, you know, over 1 billion people living there that want a better life. And a better life typically means higher ecological footprint, at least if they follow the Western way of living, which they do, actually, in many ways. Even though China is taking a lot of measures to reduce greenhouse gas emission, the high growth of its economy still requires a hell lot of energy, which so far they can only produce using fossil fuels. And so they are increasing the coal they are burning for energy year by year. It's scary. So the hope I see, if there's any hope, yeah, you know, I'm a technology guy, me too. And by chance, it turned out that Rocker is a little bit like that as well. I think
I am.
Technology is what we really need. What else can help us in this situation? People will not change that fast. We need innovation, new technologies, alternatives. And we see that. And who would have believed, if you look at the production in Germany of renewable energy, it's still not enough, but it has increased dramatically over the past years. And if you had asked people 10 years ago, would that ever be possible? They would have denied it. They would have said, no, that is impossible. We can never make it. Still, we have made it. And if we are really serious, we can also increase that dramatically. But we also have to accept just that is not sufficient. We need more intelligent solution. But there are a lot of smart people thinking about it. So my biggest hope for the future is really technology.
I think that's the only way how we can conquer it, because we will need this energy, as you said. I mean, if we take China as an example, ask them to stop growing, ask them to just stop your economic growth. It's not good for all of us. They will never. No one will. And that's what we also said. They want to grow. Everyone wants to grow. And if they can only do it in that way, because there are no alternatives, at least now, they will never. We also want to grow, so we don't have to say only China wants to grow. We all want to grow. All our nations want to improve their economy. And I think in the long term, it's only possible if we find better solutions, better production measures for renewable energy.
I would dare to couple this technology, the advancements in technology, and this is something, Volker, you also mentioned before, in a different way, the willingness to want to really make authentic change. This is extremely important. And this is what you mentioned before. This is what we're really starting to see now. A little late, but still we're starting to see it. And the combination, hopefully, will slow the tide. And I think you've already addressed this a little bit. A question to both of you. What can be done now? Is it the technology, which you've already mentioned? It's also the willingness, which you've already mentioned. Volker, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with Rocco on this one.
Yeah, I think I described a few measures. So what I'm doing, everyone can do, and I also have to do it in a more dramatic way, just reduce the consumption of meat or fish, reduce your heating. Maybe you don't need 24 degrees. You can also do with 22 or even 20, I think, if I dare say. So everyone can do these little things. You can buy less plastics, use paper bags, all these little things. So everyone can do these little things, and maybe a bit older for the older one.
That would be us, Volker. The older ones.
use the train or the bus or so. I think in my generation there aren't many people who own a car. Okay, I'm 19, but looking a bit up, 20, 22, 21, there are people owning a car, but they are using the train and the bus and so more frequently, I think.
I agree. I think your generation is a good example of what is possible, because many in your generation live a different lifestyle. As you said, not everybody is driving a car. People are happy using public transport system. I see a lot of good initiatives coming out of your generation. I don't see so many coming out of our generation, to be very honest. But it's clear for us it's a little bit more difficult to change the way we have been living all our life. As I said, change management is so difficult, changing our behaviors.
Take for example the electric car. So as the electric car started, I was totally keen on it. I'm a fan. I like electric cars. And I think as I was talking with people from an older generation than mine, they were not willing to change. There are so many prejudices and sometimes just facts that weren't facts. So there was so much prejudice. As I said, they weren't willing to change. And this willingness to change, I think, is what's most important, because an electric car, it's getting better and better. And it's just one example. So my teacher at school, she was keen on using paper. I was trying to use an iPad to preserve paper and so on. I was trying to be more innovative in a way, but they pushed me down. We needed books. We needed paper. I wasn't allowed to use my electronic devices in some cases. And that's just, I think that's a big problem, this willingness to change.
Actually, that's a good example, the use of electric cars. I think facts are overwhelming today that using electrical cars, despite all those fake arguments against it, are a good way of reducing our carbon footprint. Still, there are so many people unwilling to change and coming with arguments that, yes, it is a little bit less comfortable to drive an electric car, because especially the range is not as high as it is with combustion engine cars. So yes, you need a little bit more time. You don't drive that fast, so you need to change a little bit your behavior. But is this us too much to do this? And that's where I have a hard time. And when I discuss with friends of mine, people from my generation, they think I'm crazy that I'm driving electric car. Three years ago. Now I also see this slowly changing. Also because our government gave a lot of subsidies. But it's a very good example how difficult it is for people to change their way of living. And if they have to forgo something, to give up something on their comfort, they're not willing to do so. But one thing is clear, we will all have to do a little bit less of the things we are used to do. In my view, this is acceptable. We don't have to live in the Stone Age. A little bit of our comfort that we're used to, we have to let go.
Okay. Along those lines, I think Rocco has already told us what he's doing to make some changes. What are you doing?
Well, that's a very good question. I drive an electric car.
Okay, good.
That's a good start. As somebody in my generation, as one of the early guys changing to an electric car, and Rocco knows it, in our neighborhood, we got a lot of interesting comments because where we live, I think I was the first one, Roger, who was driving an electric car and got a lot of sarcastic comments.
Okay.
Showed up with an electric car. And otherwise, of course, with my business work, I can contribute a lot, significantly more than I can do individually. But that doesn't mean that I should not also do something individually. So, you know, same things that that Rocker said. I have significantly reduced my consumption of meat. I'm not as far, you know, to say I'm a vegetarian, but I'm getting close. But look how I have been educated. I was born in the 60s, and you know when Germany became a little bit more wealthy, and one sign that you're doing good was that every day you had a piece of meat. That was just normal, and it was a sign of doing good, doing well. You know, we can afford to. I mean, that's how I was raised. That's how I was educated. So it is not easy to change that behavior, but I'm doing this. And when I'm in our cantina downstairs, I would say maybe, I think I'm down to one day a week where I eat meat. And you can believe when I was 20, it was more like 7 days a week. It was just normal and just natural. That's an area I've reduced significantly. But certainly there are more areas I need to work on, because don't consume so much water at home. When small things that actually my father taught me when I was young, you know, when you take a shower, make yourself wet and then turn the water off when you do your soap and shampoo, and turn it on again when you just want to rinse it off. Instead of standing, you know, 10 minutes below the warm, nice and cozy shower, things like that, we're getting back a little bit to those things. There's a lot we can all immediately do. Yes, it will cost us something of our comfort, but I think it's definitely worth it. But I want to be honest, it's not easy for me. So it's something I have to remind myself of every day. And it's good to have two young boys who remind me of that I should be more mindful in the things I'm doing.
So Rocco, you know you have the next challenge, the shower challenge.
Yes.
At home. I think that's your assignment now. And I'd like to know how that's going. Okay. Anything either one of you would like to say as we come to a close?
Maybe just a quick thing, because we've talked about what everyone can do, so what we can do, but the most important thing is what my father said, what the governments will do, because it is important to change legislation. People won't change that fast, and I think we have to force them, if you can say it like that, in a way to reduce their emission, their footprint. And I think that's most important. And that's what I get from my generation when I think about climate change, that there's enragement, or maybe they are disappointed in the government, because the coal exit in 2035, we all think that's way, way too late. All these measures, we think it's too late. We think it's not moving fast enough. Maybe you could argue we don't know all the data, we don't know what's going on, but that's always what we're always told in that way. We don't know the whole picture. We don't know, but we can also inform. And I would say that there are many good formats on the TV, or maybe I would say more on YouTube or so, that do quite a good job of telling us what is going on. And I think we know what's going on in many times, and that's just sad that we are not heard in that way. I think it's getting better, but think about Fridays for Future. When it started, they were belittling us. So most older generation people were saying, "Hey, let them do; they will calm down." And it happened in a way, because the hype is over, and I think it's stopped because we were not heard. We didn't feel like we were taken seriously, and that's what I think is very sad.
Now, you have a very good point, Rocker, and we have not talked about this, but regulation, of course, is key. Actually, we need some smart governments, but that's really what the world needs. We need to take some smart decisions, and regulation is also the key. I think we have all learned that, and meeting, you know, we have seen this for decades. Just hoping for, you know, individual change of behavior will not work. And also businesses need to be forced in a way. And the that businesses are not changing to, you know, to carbon neutral type of way of doing business. Every company has it on its plan. That did not happen voluntarily. You know, there was a lot of pressure from various angles. And not at least from the consumer angles, because that's where social networks really can help. As Rocker said, they can make a boycott for certain products if they feel, and they can organize it via social networks. But in the end, we need smart government decisions. We need regulation to support that. We need incentives to change our behavior, to get it going. And I think it's fair to say that that is too slow. And that is, you know, in democracies, it's a slow process because you have to make compromises with different stakeholders. But that is certainly something that needs to happen faster. We are too slow on that side. But Rock is right. Legislation, regulation will have to play a key role.
Well, as expected, this has been one of the most interesting and revealing conversations we've had on this program. What I'm taking with me is that we all have a role to play in protecting our planet. And as both Rocker and Volker demonstrated, we can. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you, Bitu.
Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a rating, subscribe, and turn on notifications. To comment on this episode, visit circular-economy.tomra.com/podcast.